This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Because we're worried about others, what other people will say about us. And so we have to tackle those social ills head on, especially when they exist in the holiest of places, especially when they exist in our masajid, especially when they exist in our Muslim communities. Racism is not just a reality outside, it's a reality here as well. And we've got to talk about it, and we have to confront it, and we have to perpetuate a culture in our communities that make things that are not okay outside, not okay inside either. Not just covering it up, but not okay inside either. And I have just one hadith that I printed for this khutbah that I wanted the entire khutbah to revolve around. And it's a very powerful hadith. This is a hadith that's narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jabir radiallahu anhu was one of the companions who migrated to Abyssinia, who migrated to Al-Habasha. And you've got to understand that the Muslims lived in Abyssinia for a very long time. They continued to live there even after the hijrah to Medina. There were people that continued to stay in Abyssinia. They saw culture that they had never experienced before. Mecca is very different from Habasha, very different from Abyssinia. And some of the people that made that migration suffered far more than a culture shock. They've never left Mecca before. Some of them were not traders. They didn't go to Yathrib at the time, Medina. They didn't go to Yemen or Sham on any of the trading routes. Some of them were going out of their land for the very first time, and they're going to a place where everything is different. They've never seen Christianity. They had a picture of Maryam alayhi salam in the Kaaba, and they generally accommodated all forms of religious festival and mixed it all in together. But they'd never seen it practiced by monks and nuns. They've never seen Najashi before. They've never seen his court. They've never seen the temples of Abyssinia. They've never seen any of that stuff. And everything is different to them. So when they came back to Mecca and they came back to Medina, they obviously had a lot of stories to tell about the churches, about the culture, about the internal politics of Abyssinia. When there was a revolt against Najashi, that righteous king radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who died upon Tawheed, they had a lot to talk about. But listen to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to those that came back from Habasha, from Abyssinia, he says, أَلَا تُحَدِّثُونِي بِأَعَاجِيبِ مَا رَأَيْتُمْ بِأَرْضِ الْحَبَشَةِ Will you not tell me about the strange things you saw in Abyssinia? Tell me about some of the strangest things you saw in Habasha. What are the most amazing things you saw there, or the strangest things you saw there? So, قَالَ فِتْيَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ A group of young men were eager. They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, we'll tell you what we saw. So they said, بَيْنَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ مَرَّتْ بِنَا عَجُوزٌ مِّنْ عَجَائِزِ رَهَابِينِهِمْ تَحْمِلُ عَلَى رَأْسِهَا قُلَّةً مِّنْ مَا That while we were sitting one day, there was an old nun that walked by us, and she was holding on her head this huge container of water. So you imagine the scene, you're sitting down, you're seeing a nun who's carrying this huge container of water on her head. And in Abyssinia, basically the idea is that you go and you fetch water for your families. So it's not easy to go and draw all that water and then to carry it all the way from the river back to your home. That's a lengthy process, and that's a tiring process. So they saw this old, humble woman, this nun, that's carrying this container of water, huge container of water, on her head. So she said, while she was walking, فَمَرَّتْ بِفَتًى مِّنْهُمْ There was a young man amongst them, a very disrespectful young man, a young man who had no sense of courtesy, a young man who had no manners. And they said, فَجَعْلَ إِحْدَى يَدَيْهِ بَيْنَ كَتَفَيْهَا That he put his hand between her shoulder blades, meaning he put his hand on her chest. ثُمَّ دَفَعَهَا And he pushed her. He shoved her. فَخَرَّتْ عَلَى رُكْبَتَيْهَا So she fell to her knees. فَانْكَسَرَتْ قُلَّتُهَا And her container fell down and it broke. So she lost all of that water. Why did he do it? It was the culture. It was okay. No one would stand up for that woman. They learned to disrespect their elders. They learned not to respect their religious, those that were religiously learned amongst them or devout. So this woman is shoved, it falls off of her head, and at that time, They said something amazing. They said, فَلَمَّا ارْتَفَعَتْ, that when she stood up, إِلْتَفَتَتْ إِلَيْهِ, she turned towards that young man. فَقَالَتْ, so فَتَعْلَمُ يَا غُدَرْ, you will come to know. And غُدَرْ is a derogatory term to that young man. It would be the equivalent of a hoodlum, right? You will come to know, O young man, إِذَا وَضَعَ اللَّهُ الْكُرْسِيَّ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the footstool on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets it up, وَجَمَعَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخَرِينَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings together the first and the last of His creation, وَتَكَلَّمَتَ الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَرْجُلُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, and the hands and the feet all start to speak about what they used to do, فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُ كَيْفَ أَمْرِي وَأَمْرُكَ عِنْدَهُ غَدًا. And so you will come to know, O young man, what your situation is and what my situation is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was hearing this, كان يقول, he was saying as he was hearing this statement, صدقت, صدقت, صدقت. She told the truth, she told the truth, she told the truth. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كيف يقدس الله أمة لا يؤخذ لضعيفهم من شديدهم. How will Allah ever honor a nation that does not stand up for their vulnerable when the strong ones pick on them? How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever bring any good to that nation when they allow their vulnerable to be taken advantage of and they don't do anything about it? That hadith has so many lessons for us. Number one, it's consistent with what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in other narrations. Another authentic narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلْغُونِ بِضُعَفَاءَ, find me amongst the vulnerable, find me amongst the weak. فَهَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ, are you provided for or supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except by the way that you treat your vulnerables? Will Allah do anything for you except by what you do by those who are weak amongst you or those who are vulnerable amongst you? The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in al-Bukhari, Allahumma inni ahruju ilayk, O Allah, I complain to you, bihaqq al-da'ifayn, by the rights of the two vulnerable ones, al-mar'a wal-yateen, a woman and an orphan. The way that they're wronged in society, the way that they're taking advantage of society, O Allah, I complain to you about the way that they're treated in society. So this hadith is very consistent with other things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. But what makes this narration so different? Number one, the ulama point this out, that those companions grew up in a society in Mecca where the vulnerable were also taken advantage of. And it's in the speech of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he spoke to a Najashi in Abyssinia and told him about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to that society. One of the things that he complained about, our strong ones used to take advantage of our weak ones. The vulnerable ones were devoured, taken advantage of. And no one would do anything about it. No one would say anything about it. So these companions grew up in a society where that was normal. But now it wasn't normal anymore. Now it bothered them. Now it was something to complain about. Now it was the strangest thing that they'd seen in that land. And they were telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it. Meaning what? If you normalize garbage and nonsense, then your future generations will also see that garbage and nonsense as normal as well. The way you treat your spouse, expect your kids to do the same with their spouses. Or expect them to be treated in the same way by their spouses. When we perpetuate racism in subtle forms, it's a few words that we think are cute and we think are okay to say, and your kids start to say those same words as well, and their worldview is just as messed up as yours, we perpetuate that. And the Prophet ﷺ raised his companions in a way that that stuff wasn't okay anymore. That stuff we grew up with wasn't okay anymore. The things that we saw that included injustice were not okay anymore. The second thing is the Prophet ﷺ praised this woman's iman, her faith, her truthfulness, her dignity, as she stood in front of that young man and said, you will come to know on that day how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you and how Allah will deal with me. Meaning what? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of what the oppressors do and what the transgressors do. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Allah is aware of this young boy or this young man that thought it was okay to go push this old woman and drop her water that she worked so hard to go and fetch and take away her dignity in that fashion, then what about those who are oppressed on a daily basis in their communities or in their homes, and no one does anything about it or says anything about it? So the Prophet ﷺ praised her dignity. The Prophet ﷺ affirmed that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware, and there is a day when hands and feet will talk. Why is that important, dear brothers and sisters? Because the Prophet ﷺ says at the end of this all, Allah will not honor an ummah that does not stand up for the vulnerable when the strong ones amongst them take advantage of them. You know why that's important? Who did the Prophet ﷺ blame for this entire mess? Did he just blame that young man? Did the Prophet ﷺ curse that young man? The Prophet ﷺ talked about an ummah that normalizes and allows for that type of behavior to go unchecked. We can talk about dhulm all day. We can talk about how much we hate dhulm and oppression and transgression all day. We let it go unchecked in our own communities. We have women that get taken advantage of all the time in our own communities. We have racism that takes place before our own eyes and we don't do anything about it. So we have to check ourselves, then Allah will honor us. يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would actually honor and sanctify this ummah only when the ummah treats its weak the way that we wish to be treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the fault of the one who committed the transgression. It's the fault of an ummah that allows for transgressions to happen and be unchecked. We have to check it. And we've come to a point in time where as we're going to change the narrative outside the masjid, let's change it inside the masjid as well. The next time you see someone belittling someone, or making a racist comment, or putting someone down, or disrespecting their elders, like that was the case in this situation, say something. Don't let it go unchecked. The next time you hear about a sister in your community that's being wronged by her husband, and we know how many of them there are, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, we know how many of them there are, say something. Do something about it. Don't let it go unchecked. We cannot allow the narrative to be soiled inside and expect Allah to change it for us on the outside. We ask Allah to beautify us on the inside and to beautify us on the outside. To beautify us internally and to beautify us externally. As individuals and as communities, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a people that uphold and witness the justice that He legislated for us subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify us and to rectify through us, to allow us to be illuminated by the light of Islam and to share it by others, to share it with others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct our hearts and allow other hearts to be reached by the message of Islam as we speak with our hearts. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we not be guilty of things that we call others to abandon. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we not be a people that preach what they don't practice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct us in every way possible, to forgive us for our inevitable shortcomings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ikhlas and thabat, firmness and sincerity as we go through the difficult times that we go through, and not to burden us beyond our scope. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur rahim.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة المتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, as we begin our conference inshallah ta'ala today, let's remember that all of us have to do a better job. From the person who's speaking to you right now, the leadership of your community, the religious leadership of your community, your board of directors, our board of directors at BRIC, every single attendee at every single masjid in our community. As we rectify, let's rectify ourselves inshaAllah ta'ala. Let's hold one another accountable in ways that are beautiful, in ways that also conform to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let's work on islah, on benefiting and reforming ourselves, and not necessarily reforming our religion as those on the outside call us to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be representations of the beauty of the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to bring people to the love of him and to the love of the message that he brought through us. And we ask Allah to make us worthy of that and to forgive us when we do things that deem us unworthy. Allahumma fir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibud da'wat. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم أصلح أحوال إخواننا المنكوبين في كل مكان اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكاذبين ودمر أعداء الدين اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بين المسالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعماء يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Can everyone hear me? Okay. Please come forward as much as you can. Straighten up your lines and make sure there are no gaps between you.
Keep your brothers and sisters in your dua from all over the world. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Just wanted to reiterate again that the conference is starting tonight at 5:45 p.m. Please make sure that you come out so that we can discuss and continue the discourse that was started today from the Jummah khutbah. Again, there's going to be many speakers tonight from Norman, or throughout this conference, from Norman Ali Khan, Omar Suleiman, Yasser Burjaz, Linda Sarsour, Dunya Shoaib, to many other speakers. Come, make sure that you grab outside. There's pamphlets telling you what are the times of the conference, the different speakers, the different subjects that will be talked about. Also, there's the benefit dinner tonight. Please register online or register outside right now. It will fill up and we will turn people away. No, none of the conference is going to be streamed live. You have to be here to witness it.